God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is going to come not only from our epistle reading, but also from Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, which says, "For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, and to the poor in your land." This is our text. As we are continuing our sermon series through almsgiving, we have noted previously that God blesses all people with daily bread, even the wicked, even those who don't believe in him, even those who persecute the church. The reason why God does bless all people, regardless whether they believe in the promises of God or not, is that God created all people. And if we remember what God says to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, even after their rebellion, God still charged them with taking care of his creation. So again, we also note that God, who created the heavens and the earth, is expecting us, humanity, to take care of his creation. We are stewards or managers of God's wonderful creation. As we continue our theme of almsgiving, we note that God does want us to remember the poor in the land, as our text from Deuteronomy reminds us. But with this remembering of the poor, there are certain boundaries and certain things that are not figured under almsgiving. First of all, what isn't almsgiving? Strangely enough, even though our taxes go to help support our welfare system, paying of taxes is not almsgiving. I know you're probably sitting there going, why can't it be? I pay plenty of money in taxes, but yet taxes are expected of you. You see, almsgiving is a generosity. We'll talk a little bit more about this, a sharing. No one is coercing you or forcing you to pay or to do almsgiving. But taxes, however, you are expected and commanded by the government and forced to pay. The other aspect, which isn't part of almsgiving, is the support of the proclamation of God's word and the administration of the sacraments, our gifts and offerings to the Lord. That, again, is also expected of Christians and is not considered of almsgiving. So when we talk about giving of alms, which is not only money but resources, time, and talent to the poor, we have to ask the first question is, how poor is poor? I will admit this happened to me very early in my ministry. I was ordained just about a month beforehand when I had sort of a civic duty to perform. I was told I had to give the devotion at some opening city council meeting in South Sioux City, Nebraska, in which the mayor was sort of the masters of ceremonies, so to speak. And right before he was going to introduce me, he had a particular joke that he told the people. He said, a little boy took his weekly allowance of 5 cents and after church on Sunday gave it to the pastor. The pastor asked the little boy, why are you giving me this 5 cents? And the little boy said, because my father keeps saying you're such a poor preacher. How poor is poor? Nothing to do with the ability of communicating a message to my audience, to which I had to quickly respond as I was beginning my devotion. I don't know about being the poorest pastor in the area, but probably the youngest since I was just ordained, trying to recover as best as I possibly can. But as we take a look at how poor is poor, we can take a look around us and we can find people who are poorer than we are very, very quickly. But our human sinful nature doesn't want to look at the poor. Our human sinful nature would rather look at our next door neighbor who has more money, more wealth, more opportunities, more blessings from God, and we start conceding ourselves to be poor by their standards. So how do we determine what is poor? Well, Scripture actually gives us a very interesting way of looking at it. Scripture basically says, if you are working, you have something to share. If you have something to share, then go ahead and give alms. Plain and simple, it's that aspect of sharing. Remember, alms are not coerced or forced, but given out of love. Do you have anything to share? Scripture really defines two different classes of people. Those who work, those who have something, and those who are unable to work. And it also does have a side category of laziness, those who don't want to work, but I'll cover that a little bit later. So if you are working, you have something to share. Let me use this illustration. In the Harry Potter series, especially in the books, Harry had absolutely nothing as he was being raised. For the first 10 years of his life, he actually had nothing to really say, this is my own. Nothing to share. Now, when he first comes across some money, what's one of the first things he does after he buys his books for school and the things that he needs for school? He's on this long train ride and seeing somebody who only had a very dry sandwich, as the book notes. And when the snack cart comes by, what does he do? He buys enough snacks not only for him, but also to this other person. And in the book, it very clearly notes that he enjoyed this aspect of finally, the first time in his life, he was able to share something with someone. Before, he had nothing to share. This is a very interesting, scriptural, good viewpoint to pick up. If you have nothing, then obviously you can't share. But if you have something, by all means, let's share. If you've been blessed beyond and above and beyond, then we need to share out of love. Now, as we take a look at the scriptural concepts of sharing, we may have to ask, does God rank them? Should I give more to one person or one people group and less to another? Well, strangely enough, Scripture does have a little bit of a ranking here. And in this ranking, it goes like this. First of all, to family. Second of all, to fellow believers. Third, to neighbors. Fourth, to strangers and travelers. And fifth, even to our enemies. Yes, there is a priority system. And even within this priority system, we are reminded that this is actually a very good system. This ranking is important. It first of all reminds us, as we take a look at this ranking, that all people are God's creation. It also gives us a priority system, because I don't know about you, but I receive in various forms of what I perceive as junk mail, various requests for donation. How do you then sort all these requests out? It also reminds us who we are. You see, we are reminded that God gives daily bread to all, even people still in their sin, not trusting in the promises of God. We have to remember that when we were conceived and when we were born, so to speak, at the bottom of this list. Before holy baptism, before God's word touches our hearts, we were enemies of God. But yet God still gives us our daily bread. But through Jesus Christ, by God's grace, through His Word, through holy baptism, we were taken from the bottom of this list, not to be categorized number two as fellow believers, but number one as family, intimate family, part of that nuclear family of God. We are now made heirs of God, children of the Heavenly Father, sons and daughters of God, not because of anything we have done, not because of how much sharing we have done, by what God has done to us. It is through His Word, through baptism, that God elevates us from being the bottom of enemies to the very top in being sons and daughters of God by the saving work of Jesus Christ. Yes, this concept of almsgiving does even apply to our enemies. Our world would be a much peaceful place instead of launching missiles at each other if we'd start giving alms even to our enemies. But our world has a sinful condition, just like we also have a sinful condition. And so we are very often accused of being lazy, of having avarice, being greed, which are to be avoided, which then brings me to that one category I said I was going to delay for a moment. What happens when we have people who don't want to work? Not people who are unable to work, that's a different category, but who don't want to work, who want to sit there and sort of mooch off of others, who want to be dependent upon others at all times. Paul reminds us, as he reminded the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. There is a boundary here. Yes, we are to give alms to the poor, to those who are in need, but at the same time, they also should, if they are able to work, then let them work. And if they don't have jobs, maybe we should also be looking at trying to provide them jobs so that they are able to work, so that they also can, in turn, can share what God has blessed them with. To those who are unable to work, obviously, we put them in the category, as our text says in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, there will be poor in the land, so we shall open wide our hands to our brother, to the needy, and to the poor. We are reminded in our epistle reading from today, as we are picking up from Corinthians, those last few lines. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, Paul reminds us, but that there may be equality. At the present time, your plenty, and please note that it is always plenty, will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. Notice the sharing that our Lord and Savior is talking about and reminding us. So this day we thank God for our daily bread. We also thank God for having the opportunity of managing His creation. We also thank God for having the opportunity to share. Because we've been blessed with much, we also can share the many blessings. And we ask God to help us to open up our hearts, that when we see people in need, we will respond. Because that last category there is sort of another way by which we can sort of, I don't want to use the word discriminate, but prioritize our giving. God places many opportunities for us to share right in front of us. We need to open up our eyes and our hearts to those opportunities as we see the Lord's will being done. So this day we do give praise and thanks to God that not only He has blessed us by taking us as enemies of God and making us His children, but that He continues to feed us with His body and blood, the bread and the wine, so that we may continue to maintain His status as children of God. He continues to nurture us with His word and sacraments, so that we may grow strong in the faith. And we ask the Lord to open up our hearts, that if we see the poor, the needy around us, we may be able to share what God has so richly, wonderfully given to us. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.